And welcome to the All About Symbian Insight podcast, unless you're at the other website, in which case ignore what I've just said, and hello and welcome to the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. We're here at Nokia World, I'm Ewan Spence, and this is a special live, on-the-ground, walking-around podcast, bringing you the best flavour of the conference and the news here at the London Excel Centre. We've got lots of opinion coming up, lots of fact, lots of speculation, at least one mention of a phone, and two very special guests joining me. We have Rafe Blanford.
Hello, everybody.
And Steve Litchfield.
Hi there.
David is currently right in the thick of the things, so we'll catch up with him later on in the podcast. But for now, we've had some big news coming out of the keynote this morning from Stephen Elop. We're going to touch on that briefly before we head off into the maelstrom. Rafe, probably the biggest thing has always been Nokia going about the next billion handsets. And today they said how they were going to do that, didn't they?
They did. They talked about a new set of Series 40 handsets called the Asha series of handset. That's Hindi for hope. And it was a good example of how Nokia is, you know, doing things in the mobile phone space. You know, the 365 million devices a year. They announced a whole bunch of them, the 200, the 201, the 300, and another one, with a combination of QWERTY devices, 12-key, you know, with touch, without. It's worth having a look at those because they explain, you know, for each different device, it's aimed at a different segment, different person, in countries like India and Kenya and around the world. And although it was kind of the preview before the main attraction, it was presented in a very good way that demonstrated the global reach and how important they were for Nokia.
And I mean, it's Series 40, so we're going to touch this briefly, but most importantly, certainly for the fashion and the credibility of these handsets, they've got Angry Birds on them.
They do. That was the other big app announcement. You know, Angry Birds now representing 30% of the downloads from Nokia Store of Series 40, and Angry Birds and some of the other apps that are going to announce are going to no doubt add tens of more millions of downloads to that figure.
Okay, and the amount of time that is dedicated to the Symbian part of the keynote was this long. And then we moved on to, but you know, in all seriousness, Rafe, it was a very, you know, Symbian has kept Nokia going over the summer. It will continue to drive a huge number of handset sales, but this wasn't the focus for today. Oh, Steve wants to do this one. This is the fun thing about being live. We can see each other and I get hit. Ow.
Yeah, they did mention specifically that they were quite pleased with the way the Symbian updates have been proceeding. We've had updates for up to Anna, and they're all going to be updated to Bell. And they did mention that actually, even before they got down to the all about, you know, the Windows Phone stuff, that the Symbian was very much in the forefront of what their preface. So at least it was mentioned that even if we didn't get actually new hardware on the day.
Because today was all about the Windows Phone. It was about the positioning of Nokia into a new market space with a new operating system, with a number of new partners, Qualcomm and Compal as well, joining Microsoft, and two rather nice looking handsets. Talk about the 800 first.
Yeah, the Lumia 800. If people have seen the N9, which has been out for about a month or so, it's very, very similar, sort of a unibody polycarbonate construction. Very, very smooth in the hand, curved convex glass screen, AMOLED 3.7 inches, a slightly smaller screen than the N9, but really, really nicely in the hand, very, very solid, very, very polished. It has got an integral battery, so no replacing the battery. Sorry, fans of changeable batteries. Same camera as the N9, so really large aperture, good in low light, pretty high spec handset really, and the clear black display on the 3.7 inch AMOLED just looks absolutely stunning. So very, very nice indeed.
Competitively priced, unsubsidised, it's listed at €470 by Nokia. We're getting price information from the UK networks. Free handset on Vodafone at £31 a month for your 24 month contract. That's looking competitive, if not aggressive, Rafe.
It is looking competitive. That price point, you know, when you compare it to iPhone and some of the leading Android handsets, you know, that's actually a significant reduction. And similarly, if you're buying SIM-free, we're talking around the £450-odd mark in terms of with taxes. That's obviously the launch price, so one has an expectation that that may fall over time towards 400 and maybe below. And actually, yes, that's very competitive for what's a really iconic piece of design.
And the other device was, you know, 6 months they've managed to get two Windows phones shipping out the factory. The 800 is going out now. The 710 is sure to follow in the next couple of weeks. Is the 710, which I've just already mentioned. This is probably going to be the bigger handset, but less of the news.
Yeah, that's right. But let's just underline it. This is a second handset. If you'd asked people on February the 12th, Nokia are going to produce a Windows Phone handset by the end of the year, I think most people would have gone, we'll see, because of the delivery timetables. Haven't exactly been swift before. I mean, actually, it's an incredible achievement from an engineering point of view to deliver a handset that quickly. And yes, they've been working on it before. But I would say that's, getting on for half the time that usual for a handset development. But yes, so the 710, talking about, a lot of the same features, the same basic specifications, and yet the pricing, I think, is €270 before tax and subsidies. That makes it basically the cheapest Windows Phone at launch, and so makes it, okay, it's upper mid-tier, but that significantly increases the addressable market of Windows Phone and gives Nokia a whole second card to play in the Windows Phone game as it launches.
Now, we don't have pricing from any of the networks on the 710. You have to assume it's going to either go under the 800 or it's going to look very attractive on the prepay market. But the thing about the 710 is this was where Nokia said they were going to hopefully drive Windows Phone into. They were going to be driving down the price, going into new markets. And this is one of the signposts of 2012 and beyond.
It is. It's kind of a sign of things to come. And it's, the portfolio approach. And I think it's fair to say that this is just the beginning. And so what kind of sprung into my mind as soon as I heard about that was, well, if this is what they've done in 8 months, what are they going to do at Barcelona? 6 months after that, we've been promised a kind of cadence of devices, every couple of months. And, inevitably your attention turns to the future. But you do sort of go, well, they've done that in 8 months. What are they going to do in another 12 months? And that story is something we'll be having to tell. So, but let's concentrate on the current, the now.
Yeah, I should just mention this 710 is massively cheaper than the Lumia 800. I've been down having a hands-on with it as well. The screen is actually very, very nice. It's TFT rather than AMOLED, but to be honest, certainly in indoor show conditions, that makes no difference whatsoever. And it's also got this clear black display, and I can't emphasise this enough. Compared to most of the competition, the smartphones out there, this clear black display, these polarising layers in the glass, they're absolutely stunning. They really make the display pop out and just sit on the top of the screen. Very, very nice. Much more plasticky, obviously, than the 800, the 710, but then it's so much cheaper. And it's got these really rather natty replaceable back covers, which you have to be impressed by when they're all laid out on a table. As Nokia did, and there's a few nice photographs in our armoury.
Does it give you access to the battery?
Oh, yes, and you can change the battery, so yes!
So you want the 710 instead of the 800 then, Steve?
I'm a geek, I want the 800, but...
You didn't say that off mic, did you?
But if you said, Steve, have the 710, I would not say no.
Right then, so obviously you know the voices that you have on the Insight podcast, and we will have that throughout this week and beyond. But here in Nokia World, all the commentators are here, and some of the friends of the All About family are here, so let's go and have a chat with them to find out what they think of the news that's come out from Stephen Elop and everybody else in the teams on the stage today. Okay then, time for an opinion outside of the All About family. Basically, we're going over to what in Alabama they would describe as our cousins, Ben Smith from Rife and the Tother Ewan's 361 Degrees podcast. Ben, simple question for you. Did Nokia and Stephen Elop do enough?
Yes, but only just. The announcements are really cool. The phones are good, but I think that it's going to be what comes next that actually seals the deal, because they haven't, for me, what they've made is a nice Windows phone and an affordable Windows phone, and that's great, that's what they needed to do, but it's what comes next that's going to actually differentiate them, that's going to mean that I choose to buy a Nokia device rather than HTC. I mean, at Wireless Worker, I focus on enterprise quite a lot, so I'm thinking about, why am I going to go and buy 1,000 of these devices rather than just one for me personally? And right now, they're both really nice devices. The cheaper of the two devices, I can see that businesses would quite like to use, because Windows Phone is going down an absolute storm in enterprise.
Why is that?
Really good integration with Exchange and SharePoint, which are the two tools that most businesses already use. Quite good support. In terms of Microsoft outreach, I mean, my firm bizarrely has some specialisms in education sector, and Microsoft have got really great outreach into all these various different specialist sectors who are there helping people with all their mobile problems, and, well, whether they're making mobile stuff or consuming it. And I think that, you know, Windows Phone actually is going to be a big deal, and it's going to be a big deal because of Nokia, but not because of the two devices that announced today.
Okay, so a lot of people, when they look back at Feb 11th, there was a lot of forward-looking in that statement. It seems to me that today seems to be the counterpoint of that. Today has only been about now.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with February the 11th was we talked about what was wrong and what's going to stop happening. And to be honest, I'm with respect to the All About Symbian readership, I'm sick and tired of hearing whether that was the right decision or the wrong decision. It was a decision, it was made. We have to live with it now, and the question is not whether or not it was right or wrong, it's whether they can get on and do something successful with Windows Phone. I think what was interesting was that they only tried to differentiate their devices in ways that we could have predicted. They had Nokia Drive, they had Nokia Music, you're going to correct me on the name of that product, and the ESPN product, which are fine, you know, kind of bespoke custom apps, but they're only apps for Windows Phone, which could be replicated by competitor providers. How are they actually going to differentiate Nokia Windows Phones longer term, or are they just going to be the guys who make the nicest looking hardware, which is fine, but it's not where enough money is to sustain Nokia as a brand as big as it is today?
Is there an argument that, you know, in February we said if they can get one out by the end of the year, they're doing very well? We're now in October. They pressed the button in the factory live, which I'm sure caused a bit of technical fun and games in the back room. Is it that this is all they could manage in 8 months, and a production cycle for a true hero phone takes a bit longer?
Well, I haven't had hands on with the 800 long enough to know whether or not I'm comfortable calling it a hero phone. I think it's very impressive, but actually I think your setup there presumes that actually they haven't done amazing things in the time available. I think getting two phones to market, changing platforms, even just producing really nice looking hardware in that time scale is incredibly amazing.
Yeah, I think the aim of the question was what they've delivered here is what they could do in 8 months. If we'd given them 18 months, they would have come up with huge amount of differentiators. This is almost a we can deliver on time, on target, boom.
I think this is also about recalibrating the cycle at which they look at this stuff. Rather than saying, we're going to switch ecosystems, by the way, could you just all, you know, sit on your hands for 2 years while we come up with an entire portfolio of devices and an entire range of services and support and all this kind of stuff. No, they've got to do baby steps, because you can't, you know, the Windows Phone is a fledgling platform at the best of times. They're having to, you know, wait for this to grow. For example, Mango, the version of Windows Phone that is shipping on these two devices, has only very recently released. So actually, they had to wait for that to be mature enough to put it on the platform to build. So they've done amazing things, and I think that they've done enough, and what they've done in the time is very good and very impressive. But we're talking, when we talk about Nokia and their success or failure, we talk about this sort of global mega enterprise that deals across all these different platforms, all these different types of consumers, and all these different, you know, different devices and use cases and users and etc. And right now what we've seen is kind of doing what they've promised, but not enough to sustain Nokia long term.
So we've got now what? We need to look again seriously, strategically, 6 months, 9 months?
For me, the two things that were really interesting that they missed out on were they glossed over the US very, very fleetingly. It'll be very interesting to see what they do in the US. And they also then went on to talk about customised variations of handsets with LTE, different chipsets in. Yeah, they're lots of different variations. And I also noticed, for example, that there was no mention of the enterprise market. I mean, enterprise doesn't mean QWERTY, but lots of enterprises want a portfolio of devices that at least include a QWERTY variant. I want to see those secondary announcements and how they handle those. For me, those actually will be the real make or break. What they've done here is they've made a pretty attractive looking Windows Phone that they can put into markets where Windows Phone is already launched to compete against other devices that have similar specs and similar characteristics.
But they've got good skin in the game.
They've got good skin in the game, and when you look, you know, they're definitely all in. You know, you can't doubt their commitment on this.
Ben, where can people follow your opinions and thought formings?
Well, if you're not...
Assuming that thought forming is a valid phrase nowadays.
If you're not already one of either of my readers, you can follow my occasional blogging at wirelessworker.net. I am at BenSmithUK. Or alternatively, Rafe, Ewan and I are at...
T'other Ewan.
Yep. Are at 361degree.es, the 361 Degrees podcast. We're going to do some stuff here, so we're going to be live very soon.
Lovely. Now, the great thing about Nokia World is you can literally stick your hand out, find someone and ask them for an opinion, or you can go, look, I have a comfy chair. And you can entice them over with the illusion of faux leather and a seat to put down the rest of their tiramisu and chicken biryani. It's T'other Ewan.
Are we live?
We are live, yes.
So I should not swear?
You can swear, because, right, but if you swear, I might have to edit out again or suffer Rafe wrath, or he'll swear on your podcast.
I thought it was a wonderful event. I'm utterly delighted. Is that what you were asking me about, by the way?
Well, no, I was thinking, what did you think of the wedding? But other than that...
The royal wedding.
The royal wedding, yeah. What did you think of the royal wedding?
Wonderful. Yes, but in terms of Nokia...
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do Nokia.
It's about flipping time. I think it's... This time last year, do you remember it? It was dire.
It was so dire we could get on the Wi-Fi.
That is telling, right? Okay. The fact is, there's tons of crowds here. From most of where I was looking, there was standing room only. I was delighted to see the way that Nokia delivered their products and services out to us. Now, what was the lady's name, the marketing lady? She was the one that was dancing around.
I know. Now, wasn't that a breath of fresh air?
It's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous to see this enthusiasm from this traditionally quite formal company. I think we've needed it, right? We've needed this kind of interactivity.
And let's be honest, she was handed a bundle of Series 40 handsets that look remarkably like the C3 and the C5 Touch and Type that have been out for a while, yet they felt new. They look wonderful and bouncy. And I love the fact that it carried on this sort of imagery of, you know, no, it's people to people.
Absolutely. I mean, I bought it, right? I bought the concept. I liked it. I bought into her enthusiasm, her excitement, and it was infectious. And this is what we need from this company.
I say right now, that Nokia 303 operating systems and stuff aside, she could have sold it to me right there.
Well, absolutely. Do you know what? I don't say this often. I would have bought those. Right? I would buy those handsets, right? And I am a bit of a geek. At a high-level, high-spec geek, normally with an iPhone or a BlackBerry, right? Those Series 40 devices, you know, very, very appealing, and I think they're going to sell very well. Just look at the price points. Genius.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them written down here.
Written down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I've got them in paper here.
I saw €85 somewhere.
It was, where are we? They put them right at the end. But it was like, there was one going right down to... Yeah, we got to turn paper over. Look at that, €65, €110. It's just, I mean, we have to put that in context. That's still a whack of money in the emerging market to get a phone like that. But when you're handing a phone that has that ability to connect, and that was this thing that ran through. It was all people on the backdrop. Yep. It was all movement. There was one point where there were three different Jack Black films advertised in that picture from New York, but let's not go there because, you know, one of them was The Guru.
Yeah, so, I love Guru. I saw that.
Let's just skip over that. Yeah. I'm asking kind of the same question to everybody, so you get the same one as well. Right. Did Nokia do enough?
Yes, we have to remember. I mean, I'm tempted to say, oh, I want to see more handsets, more excitement, more services. But do you know what? We have to remember that in February 11th, if we believe the rumors or the little hesitation points I've had from some of the executives, you know, they made the Microsoft decision formally, they a couple of days or a day before that February 11th announcement. So the turnaround.
It's almost like when Steve Jobs went, am I going to go Intel or am I going to go PA Semiconductor? Exactly. And had two PowerPoints.
Right, almost exactly. Yeah, totally. So we have to remember that they made that decision in February. Here we are toward the end of October and they've delivered or are delivering.
And the bit everybody forgets is there would have been a stage in there involving lawyers.
Because they only formally closed the deal a little while ago, right?
That's a good rave. When did they formally close the deal, Microsoft and Nokia?
I think that was later in March, wasn't it?
March? It wasn't March. I think for the first time ever, Blanford is slightly...
We caught him on the hop. Let's be honest. He's chatting up Ben for the next podcast.
Okay, good point. Right. I am delighted. Really pleased. And I think I will... When they were talking about pre-orders, I would go and pre-order it. I'm thinking closely about doing it. In fact, I spoke
to... This is on what handset? The 800?
So this is the Lumix 800. Not Lumix. Oh, I got that wrong. The Lumia. Yeah, I was thinking, is that a, Ben was saying, is that a camera brand halfway through it? It's not, Lumix is a
Lumix
camera
brand.
So, yeah, I would probably get the chat from Vodafone reckons they're coming on Vodafone's network, so I'll definitely get one there.
So, what about, I mean, we're here, we are inside the bubble, and yes. Nokia have been kicked, you know, and with Symbian, you know, lots of blogs and lots of people
have been kicking hard.
So the question is, you know, does it matter what Nokia have said in here? I mean, the overriding concern that you read in the media is, oh, it's Microsoft. You know, I mean,
okay,
it's tough ground here for them in terms of presentation and marketing and baggage.
Right, but I see. I think they bought themselves some time in February with that announcement. Right, the whole market, I think, fairly said, all right, we'll stop badgering you, we'll stop screaming, let's give it a little while, and let's wait and see what happens.
Now, we have to remember, on February the 10th,
yeah, I mean,
there was blood on the carpet.
Oh, it was do or die, literally do or die, February 10th, right? So they had to decide. The answer was either Android or Windows Phone, right? There was no other answer. It wasn't MIMO, MIMO, MIGO, or anything. It had to be one of the big ones that the market was aware of. They've done that. They've executed. What the consumer, I think, is going to care about. Remember that Nokia is a massive brand, and when I'm out,
12 phones a minute, 12 phones a second,
yeah,
or something.
I mean, yeah, or a million phones a day. Just you know, and they're going to continue doing that, right? And the world is a big place. There's billions of people out there. They're all a lot of people know Nokia. A lot of people have a lot of love in the room for Nokia, right? So I think all they had to do was deliver something meaningful, something exciting. And so, and a compelling story that, you know, when you open the product up, isn't ruined, right? Because they're always really good at marketing. The problem has been polishing some negativity. You know, the N8 was lovely if you're a big Symbian fan, but if you were hoping it would compete with the user experience of iPhone or one of the Samsung Galaxies, no.
One of the advantages of Mango, because Mango is locked in January.
Right.
And they've just done what Shigeru doesn't intend on the Super Mario. Test and test.
Yes.
And no, we're not adding this other feature. I don't care.
Exactly. Yes.
We've had it locked.
And this is what we need, right? We need that level of excitement, that level of management, that level of oversight to make sure that the end product to the consumer is decent. So I think, when you walk into the store, right, and they did mention that a few times today, when you walk into the store, at the minute you are pushed either to iPhone, and if you don't like iPhone or if it's too expensive, you're pushed by the salespeople over to Android. There's nothing else. Maybe Symbian, but most people want a smartphone. They don't associate that yet with smart. So now there is a third way. That's just forgetting RIM, by the way, right? Because Nokia's market proposition is there are three ecosystems. Very smart marketing as an Apple, Android and Nokia or Windows.
Yeah, everybody's stepped over the fact they're just, right. Yeah, you're right, there are only three ecosystems now, where are you in that?
Mm.
It's like telling your kids, would you like an apple or an orange? You've not said, oh, by the way, there's ice cream.
No, exactly. So yeah, stepping aside.
I mean, apple is the fruit there, by the way. I should have said apple and mango, really, and it would have been funnier.
That would have been very smart. Yeah.
Jet lag.
Yeah. So they've done well to, you know, remember that the operators are on board, 31 operators and or retailers, right? And they are all paying a lot of cash, right? So you are going to be, as a consumer, when you walk in the store, you're going to be whisked over to the Nokia stand, and you're going to be, I think, pleasantly surprised or delighted or both. And when you find out the cost, right? It's all about the cost. I think that's going to
270 euro before anything?
So free, right, yep. On contract. I mean, free with a PlayStation or maybe an Xbox.
Free with an Xbox. Yeah.
But you know, because it's the contract value of these devices is. I mean, even the Lumia 800, that's going to be free, right? I mean, it's a 420 euro. I expect that'd be £35-40 contract.
Let's be honest here. The word that wasn't mentioned in there, and the word we're hitting around here, is a simple one: commission.
Yes, yeah, commission is everything, right? Because that's when
you're doing three times the spend on any other launch.
Right.
Where's that money going? It's going into the pocket of the salesman, isn't it?
Absolutely. The pocket of the salesman who's going to go... And remember, it's going to be an easy sale, right? Trying this with Symbian, difficult, right?
Or WebOS.
Or WebOS, or in fact, trying it with anything else. You know, that's quite limiting. This is gorgeous. It is nice. Microsoft have done a good job with the UI. It's fresh. It works. And the salesman is going to have an easy time with it. So... I am very positive.
Now, here's interesting, because the salesman could just go, wait a minute, mate, log yourself into Facebook on that. Think, ding, ding, watch this. Ding, ding, five prices and you ding through 17 different applications.
Here's your photo, it's got an amazing camera, it's much better, it doesn't have these boring staid apps. It's
just press this button here, that'll clear the phone, or do you just want to take this one because it's already loaded?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the consumer... It really... If you're walking in for an Apple iPhone, then yes, you're going to buy that, right? But if you're walking in wondering what kind of handset to buy, then the chances are you will be doing it.
Sum it up for us, because let's face it, Mobile Industry Review has been pretty... I mean, it's great because you're British, and I can say you've been brutally British.
I've hammered Nokia, I really have. In general fairness, I think. I mean, I think a lot of my points maybe have been quite emotive, but, you know, I think there's a fair point there. Where am I? Okay, let me tell you this. Let me sum it up. Remember last year, Anssi van Jokke got on stage and said, Nokia's back. And I just had to go, oh my God.
No. He said that Nokia is back.
Nokia is back.
Today we had a dancing EVP from India.
Right, so they are back now, right? That is a valid point now. So that's where I'm really excited.
Okay, let's grab one of the many official opinions. Ray Arrow joins me from Nokia. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
How did that go?
Well, from one Scotsman to another, it takes a lot to amaze us, and I thought today was absolutely amazing, I have to say. I thought Stephen was spot on and great in terms of his energy. I thought Kevin Shields was fantastic. The demos worked live. And they normally fail, as you know. You know, that old demo syndrome. Yeah. Here we go. I'm just going to show you this. And it doesn't work. And everything worked fantastically. Thank you, Vodafone, I have to say. A little picture of Vodafone there.
So, we saw them eventually after, hello, London, this is Helsinki calling. We saw the first one go in the box.
Yes.
We saw it in the big box.
Yes.
We didn't see the truck pulling away. But the trucks are pulling away right now, aren't they?
They are. They're pulling away. In fact... we had some actually come out of the factory, I think it was last night. So, what you saw
spoiling
today...
Spoiling the magic now for everybody.
No. I think, what you saw today was a live shot daytime factory. And those guys were actually putting devices off the line, boxing them up and ready to ship. And they're on the way. They are on the way. So, we'll start getting devices landing in various countries next week sometime.
So we get UK, Spain, Germany, France, Italy, and Netherlands initially?
Yes, that's right. And I think, as Stephen said, mid-November, all of our consumers and people in the street and all the people who are going to be queuing up and desperate to buy this phone are going to be able to go and buy it.
So, working in PR at Nokia, you've taken your licks over the last 8 months, haven't you? What does it feel like now to actually go, we do have something? See?
Well, you know, it has been frustrating. We do our best. Of course we do. But there's been a lot of negativity floating around on Nokia. And I think a lot of it is unjustified in terms of Symbian. Let me be specific about Symbian. I think Symbian Bell is a great platform. And let's not dismiss it, because it's still out there and we're still selling those devices worldwide, and it will continue to sell. Bell's a great platform. Of course, today in the focus of Nokia World is all about the Windows stuff, and the Series 40 stuff as well that we brought out, which are fantastic. You know, we're starting at €60, and for what they deliver for that market and those markets, it's just phenomenal. What you're getting for €60 is just phenomenal. But yeah, the focus is all on Windows today, and we're really proud, and it's great, and it's a lump in the throat when Stephen was talking about it, and yeah, really exciting. It's been brilliant today.
So one final question. The US availability was labelled as early 2012.
Correct.
Anything you can tell beyond that, or reasons for that, or what that North American market can expect?
In terms of timings, yes. I think Stephen mentioned it was going to be early 2012. And I think that is just purely as is normally in these instances, it's a logistical exercise. We have to prioritise, where stuff goes in terms of, the bands it's covering and the countries and the operator approvals, etc. And you can't just make every variant straight away. And you have to ramp up in a certain direction. And we have got some good news, I think, about the North American market. And I think they can look forward to having a similar experience as we're enjoying in Europe this week.
How many of those do you think are going to get grey imported over to America?
Very interesting to see. Very interesting to see.
Ray, I think it's all going to be very interesting to see. Ray, thanks for your time.
You're welcome, Ewan. Cheers, bud.
Right, let's find some more commentators in the leading lights in the mobile world. Joining me now, Chris Davis, who covers two of those three things. Which one would you like to drop? Yes, we've got it balanced well now. Slash Gear, though, takes a view of all the platforms.
Yes.
So, Nokia, of course. Let's go for the now. Let's not look at the decisions before.
Okay.
Where have Nokia put themselves today with this keynote presentation and the announcements that they've made at Nokia World?
Stephen Yelop certainly talks a good talk. He picked much better, well, Nokia picked generally much better keynote presenters than last year. There was a lot more shouting, certainly. A lot more energy, though, which was good to see. Even some dancing, which we definitely didn't have last year. And, you know, yeah, they definitely talk some impressive stuff. I think if they can deliver on that, if they can deliver on the carrier partnerships, if they can deliver on getting, you know, the marketing money out there, whether it's from their purse or Microsoft's, I think that's going to make a big difference.
What's the key challenge they're going to have over the next 2 or 3 weeks, leading up to Christmas? What's going to be their key challenge, do you think?
I think retail is going to be the key challenge. I think persuading people in Phones For You and Carphone Warehouse and other phone companies are available to actually promote not just Windows phones, but Nokia Windows phones, rather than just going for the easy option, which is selling someone an iPhone with a big contract. And I think, you know, if they're not selling iPhone, they're selling Android, and I think Windows Phone comes somewhere in the never gets mentioned category. So I think that would be the big challenge.
Okay, so let's go ahead. What do you, I mean, Windows Phone at the moment is a single figure market share, it's about 3% or something, give or take difference between sales and shipping and lost in transits and returns due to breakages and
pirates.
And stuff. Yeah. A pirate. Where do you think this can take Windows Phone in terms of market share?
I think what we've seen today, whilst it's the 800, which is perhaps the more interesting to all the geeks collected here, I think perhaps the 710 will be more interesting in terms of what it could do to the market. I think Windows Phone has been a very sort of level tier in terms of device options until now. There's been an awful, you know, quite a few manufacturers who've released devices. HTC released a load of devices, but they're all very similar, and Microsoft's kind of platform rules meant that there wasn't very much to differentiate between them. So I think that what the 710 could do, if Nokia can kind of wield its economy of scale, is bring Windows Phone to a lower price point, and that will, I would imagine, make things a lot easier in the marketplace.
Now, that's going to put the 710 in direct competition with the iPhone 3GS.
That's right, yeah. And but I mean, you know, I think any phone out there at the moment is in competition with one iPhone or another. You know, you can either ignore that or you can try and challenge it face on. I think Nokia's strength above Apple will be that it doesn't have to worry about so much a premium, it doesn't have to worry about that kind of very premium niche that Apple is perhaps seen as occupying, whereas Nokia is very much the phone for the everyman. You know, they have stuff at the high end, they have stuff at the very, very entry level. And so Nokia can target very cheap Windows phones, has the kind of, yeah, the economy of scale to deliver on it, but also not have to worry about that. Is it damaging its reputation? Are people not going to buy a Lumia 800, for instance, just because they bought a Lumia 100 whenever that arrives?
Would it be fair to say then that Lumia 710 is the one that's caught your attention?
It's caught my attention in a kind of a purely business sense. In terms of catching my attention because I would like one, I would rather have an 800. But then saying that, it would be a toss-up whether I'd like the 800 or a Nokia N9. So I have a bit of a soft spot for Mego.
It's where can people find out more and follow your thoughts and opinions?
People can find us, obviously, at slashgear.com. I'm on Twitter, at slashgear, and I'm C_Davies. And also on Google+, if you search for Chris Davies, I generally pop up.
You're the only person to mention a Google Plus profile. You realise that?
I'm a glamorous man of the future. I don't mind telling you that.
Which actually abbreviates down to goth.
Not quite so glamorous then. I might have to return to the labs on that.
Chris, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Have a good show.
Right then, it's blogger to blogger, and I've got Ben Rudolph here. Hello, Ben.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I mean, you're a voice that I've been listening to on and off for the last couple of months. We've known all about Windows Phone was coming. It's just like, how do I get up to speed? Windows Phone Radio is one of them. The Windows Team blog as well, over in there. So basically, you're the Microsoft guy on the Insight podcast special from Rocky World. So the floor is yours.
Wow, it's pretty open. I mean, it's a big day, right? We've got a lot of great stuff going on this season. We've had a lot of great phones launched from a lot of different partners. But I am really, really excited about the stuff that happened today. The Lumia 800, the Lumia 710, they're great pieces of hardware. And I think with the might and the muscle that Nokia brings kind of worldwide, it's going to put Windows phones into the hands of a lot of new people, not just current smartphone users who are looking to upgrade to Windows Phone, but a lot of people who've never picked up a smartphone before, maybe are coming from a Nokia feature phone or another hardware manufacturer's feature phone. They're looking to move to a real OS platform, and with Nokia behind us, it's really going to open a lot of doors for those people.
Now, obviously, you love all your children equally, let's take a step back again. What are some of the highlights in the other devices? I mean, a lot of people are going to be coming to this podcast from a Nokia point of view, but they might have seen some like the 5-inch screens of the Titan, some of the smaller Cura things. So give us a quick, what else out there in the Windows world are you really enjoying just now?
You know, what I'm finding now is that Windows phones are a lot like Windows PCs. There's really something for everyone. If you want something really big, you've got that big 4.7-inch Titan, which is what I have in my pocket right now. You've got something much smaller like the Samsung Focus Flash that's coming out, the HTC Radar. It's a great size. So at a variety of sizes, features, and price points, no matter what you're looking for, you can find a Windows phone that's going to be perfect for you. Then, of course, you can customize the OS, change the color, add your own apps, build that live tile screen exactly how you want it.
I continue to surprise myself by how often I change the color on the thing.
Yeah, and it's actually
just like, I've got that, there we go, it's done. But it's no, it's just that feel green. So it's like, it really smacks of the personal touch that maybe some people forget Microsoft can still do.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people look at Windows Phone from an old Windows Mobile perspective.
And there's nothing wrong with the Cassiopeia 500.
No, there was not. But, you know, that was a great platform for a long time, but it was time to evolve, and we evolved into Windows Phone 7, and now we're here. But it's not really a perception problem. It's an awareness problem. A lot of people have never picked up a Windows phone, and because the interface and the way that it looks and feels is so different from some of the other smartphone platforms, you really need to pick one up to understand it. As soon as you pick it up and you feel a really nice piece of hardware that's got this really beautiful OS that's alive with all the live tiles and all the real-time information and the way that it scrolls and the way that it flows, you get it. And it shows you how it puts people first and it connects you to the stuff that you care about rather than just constantly adding in apps that do teeny little things and are very disjointed.
Okay, so let's go. You're running out the door of your office. They're all lined up. Okay, you're going away for a week's business. You'd like to grab one of them.
Oh, so I can't grab one of them. I actually have a little tote bag with all the phones in it. Phones.
Okay. Right, TSA says you're only allowed to carry one phone because somebody smuggled in a bit of P10 in the wireless cord or something.
That's a tough one. Right now, the phone that I've been using is the HTC Titan, and I love it. It's got a big, beautiful screen. It just feels great. It's typing on a mail on it is so good. As soon as I get my Nokia Lumia 800, I'm going to be carrying that one for a while.
Look at that old message as always. Okay, do me a favor. Pull out the Titan just now.
The Titan is over there charging. Right?
Okay. Background music. Right, okay. Go to the start screen. Yeah, I'll just look over the shoulder again. Because it's so personal, very briefly, just go down your live tiles on there.
Absolutely. So I've got my phone tile and my AccuWeather tile in the top row. I only keep one AccuWeather tile pinned. I just swap the city wherever I am.
Yep.
I've got Outlook and Hotmail, my calendar. Yep. I use Rowy for Twitter. Absolutely awesome Twitter client with live tile support. You can see text messaging. I got People, Foursquare, my Me tile, and then I got my brothers and sisters, my wife and all of her brothers on there. Below that, pictures. I've got my London Travel app, so I don't get terribly lost. I got London Travel, which shows me live tube updates, and then Bing London get me there. Internet Explorer and Xbox Live. I got Zune, Marketplace, AppFlow, which I love for searching the marketplace. HTC's flashlight app, which works off the LED flashes on the back, which I'm a big fan of. Utilities, I calculator and my alarms and settings. eBay, sell a ton of stuff on eBay. Nothing up right now. I've got radio, I got GeekBits, Glimpse, Heads Up Compass, if you've seen that one. Absolutely awesome. It's an augmented reality app. And I got maps. I got my British Airways app so I can check in online. Clever Translate to go back and forth between different languages.
Okay, hold on. No, see, my eagle eye is always worried. You've got index letters on there. Now, is that just because you've got a stupid number of applications? Because I don't remember having that on my trophy.
Correct. I've got a ton of applications on here, so...
So once the applications go over a certain limit, the letters kick in.
Correct.
See, and again, it's touches like that
yep.
that I think people just miss.
Yeah, it's what's nice is that you use it and you're like, oh yeah, they should all work like that. You know, it's something where you you touch it and you're like, yeah, it's just nice. It automatically indexes. So it becomes really, really easy to use. And it's not something you have to go and say, oh, I better turn on indexing. It just does it for you. So even if you're brand new to a smartphone platform, you're good to go.
Okay, so let's bring it back to finish up here. Nokia World 2011. What's the nicest touch you've seen on the Lumia?
You know, I love the weight and the balance of that device. That's actually the thing that really stood out for me is that creating a phone that isn't just beautiful, but it's also really ergonomic, matters. And when you pick it up and you hold it, it just feels right in your hand. And that's kind of the intangible awesomeness in good design. And you can make something that looks really beautiful, but when you pick it up and you use it and it feels as good as it looks, then you know you have something really special. I mean, it's the same thing with like a really nice car. Like a Ferrari doesn't just look nice. You sit in the seat and the cockpit kind of wraps around you. And it feels great. The steering wheel feels great and your gear shift feels great and it feels great in the turns. And like everything works together. It's a great complement of function and form and design.
So, Ben, people can read stuff from you pretty much every day. Where from?
If you go to the Windows Team blog, click on the Windows Phone blog, you're going to be in good shape. You can catch up with all that stuff. You can also follow me on Twitter at BenThePCGuy.
And Windows Phone Radio, which I've been listening to since the summer just to keep me up to speed, where you make regular appearances.
Yep, I am on there occasionally. Really, it's Brian Seitz, who's a good buddy of mine who works with me on the team. That's his baby. He runs it every week, so you can follow him at Brian Seitz.
And the podcast can be found?
Also on the Windows Phone blog every Friday.
Simple as that. Ben, thanks for your time.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
And thus ends day one of Nokia World, but not yet on the Insight special that we're doing here. The team has gathered themselves back together. Welcome back, team. Have we all survived?
Woohoo!
Yay.
Oh, just about.
And we have David Gilson back from his adventures on the show floor as well. We'll be going to David in a second. But first, Steve, there is Symbian news here, even though we talked about it right at the start. For a mature operating system, it's surprising just how much differentiation it's managed over these many years. And hopefully that's something we can look forward to in Windows Phone as well. But Symbian has still managed to pull out a couple of surprises today.
Yes, although it wasn't mentioned really very much from the front of in the keynotes. I did mention earlier that they did make reference to the Anna and Bell updates that are rolling out and about to roll out, but also completely unheralded, there was a Symbian Anna service pack which appeared over the last couple of days, and it's still rolling out around the world. It's about a megabyte or so, and really does speed up, especially email, and also I think GPS fixes. So do watch out for that in your software update on your Symbian phone. Definitely a must install, and it's certainly a good precursor until while you're waiting around for Symbian Bell. Also, we had launched today, say rather quietly, Nokia Maps Suite, which is kind of an add-on for the Nokia Maps that's already in Beta Labs, which is, I think, the version 3.8. And this basically tacks onto the on top of that and makes Nokia Maps into a whole suite and adds four basic functions. There's Pulse, allows you to keep a group of friends and family in touch with your location. There's Places, which acts as sort of kind of an aggregator for places of interest that are around you. Rafe, you liked this feature, didn't you?
Yes, I mean, it was a nice way of kind of adding on the extra features, moving out of just the navigation space. I kind of have my doubts about Pulse as sort of another place you can deal with locations, but there is some unique aspects of it. The thing that really caught my eye though was the public transport routing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like it's now multimodal navigation, pedestrian, car and public transport. And there was one thing that particularly caught my eye about that was that with the public transport you can save a place as a favorite, and then when you go into that public transport sort of page or mode, it will automatically work out where you are and then the public transport to get to that place. So you could save work or home, for example, and it will show you various options of how to get there in terms of public transport, or if you stop and have a coffee. And of course it then ties in potentially to look at places as you're on the journey. So nicely done.
And it's also worth pointing out it's time sensitive as well, as it will do lookups on the departure times and a lot of those public transport systems.
It will do, yes. And it's in 450 cities, so pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, but the final thing in this Nokia Map Suite, which is actually version 2.0, funnily enough, for a beta product to launch at version 2 is rather strange, but Live View, which basically uses the fact that most of these modern Symbian smartphones, and indeed most smartphones across the world, have no camera protector, so the camera's open to the air all the time. So you can use more augmented reality. So basically this overlays the places database, the things of interest around you, on a sort of heads-up view using the camera. So just like other augmented reality systems, you can see what's around you in a rather novel fashion. Just don't get mugged while you're flashing your expensive smartphone around. But yeah, that's Nokia Map Suite. I'll be reporting on it in a full article on All About Symbian in a couple of days.
The Live View thing has been available in beta labs sort of already for a little while as a kind of a standalone or an add-on, but it's nice to see this integrated. And of course, now that it's in this this beta version, it's obviously going to go live in one of the software updates for all the Symbian devices in tens of million. And actually, in terms of augmented reality, that's pretty large scale.
And they did say in the beta post that this is intended to make its way into a shipping product, which they don't always say at the top of a beta labs thing. So this will definitely appear in firmwares at some point.
So that is the Symbian news. It's quite thin on the ground, the Rafe, but that's not necessarily a thumbs down thing, is it?
No, well, I think there's a kind of sense of inevitability about it. We talked about the kind of the updates, and there are some developers around showing off some really cool apps, and hopefully we can talk about that in the future. But, you know, this event is about Windows Phone for Nokia. And I think, you know, if anything, Symbian did get announced in terms of devices or, you know, big announcements, it would kind of just get lost in the kind of the excitement around Windows Phone. There's no point diluting it. And so as much as, you know, from an All About Symbian hat on, I'd love to have seen some Symbian news and perhaps a new device. You know, that isn't happening here. I would stress that quite a few of the Nokia people I spoke to said, you know, there's more Symbian devices on the way next year. There are a lot of excitement around Bell and how well it's going to do in the mid-tier. And, you know, really quite a lot of push behind it. But, you know, this is, in one sense, a press event or the marketing event. It's the coming out of the Windows Phone thing. And so for those wondering, listen to this podcast on All About Symbian. That's why we're kind of concentrating on it here. It's the way it is.
Yeah, and certainly with everyone we've spoken to in the podcast, it's been kind of open. You know, have Nokia done enough? I never said to them, have Nokia done enough about their Windows Phone? But everybody's been focusing on the Windows Phone story. And I know that Steve had a lot of criticism about how February 11th was portrayed and all the pieces, and we'll not go over that again. But there has been a conscious decision in this event to focus on a single story with the India one as the secondary.
That's right. Although the interesting thing is, you know, Symbian in the last 2 years has faced a constant barrage of criticism, and almost overnight that's been switched off, and actually people are saying nice things about Bell, and they're saying it's right for the mid-tier and they can see the potential there. Even some of those who I think, you know, previously would have been quite critical of Symbian, they acknowledge that it has its place. And so actually Nokia have turned that message subtly around quite quickly, and if that continues, I don't see any reason at all why Symbian can't play an exceedingly important role in that mid-tier and actually be maybe more accepted, because, you know, it's been shown what Nokia's other leg is, if you like.
Trailed as being absent and exploring the floor in his best Indiana Jones bring him back alive Tales of the Golden Monkey spirit, David Gilson finally makes his way to the microphone. Hello, David.
Hello, Ewan.
How has the show floor been down there?
It has been very bright. There's lots of very bright Tron-inspired enclosures. And actually getting hands-on with the devices, the CBD screens, you really see the difference in the screens. But anyway,
they pop.
I think that's one word for it, yes. Anyway, I'll
there's lots of awesome words that are coming out from the stage as well.
Yes, awesome. Yes, and I still haven't forgiven that guy for bursting my eardrums. But anyway, we'll come back to that. The first thing I did was listen to Microsoft's Joe Belfiore talk about the origins of Windows Phone. Now, if I just look at my notes here, he talked about the origins of Windows Phone, saying where it comes from. He's saying that the name actually came from, they wanted to take the user on a journey, and also they were inspired by transportation signs. For the fact is that they strip it down to the essentials, but still topographically does what it needs to do. And he also,
and thus Metro UI driving Windows Phone.
Yes. But the other thing that he kept more hinting at, really, than coming out and saying for definite, was that Windows Phone is moving away from an application-centric model, whereas at iOS and BlackBerry, you have to go into an app to do something, and in Symbian 2, you have to, if I want to do this, I have to go into that app. And he was saying that, like with the live tiles, that everything, all the information you want bubbles to the top. And, for example, some applications are bringing in deep linking so that one application can go straight into the a deeper part of another application.
Yeah, there's actually an example of that in the Nokia Music, because the Zune Music app that Windows Phone users will be aware of is still there as well. But you never notice the transition. If you're in the Nokia Music app and then go to My Music, it just drops you into the right place in the Zune Music app. But it feels like the same sort of application. So it's almost like more a web page than an app.
And the important thing about this is the ability to jump into the middle of an application, and you can also do that by pinning something to the start screen. The example everyone uses is actually very relevant. It's the British Airways boarding pass. So you have your boarding pass on the home screen. When you get to security, you can immediately jump into it. And it's something that's not been talked about very much, but that's a new thing with Mango. And it's quite apparent from talking to the Microsoft teams here and also the Nokia team that that's the kind of thing they're going to take more advantage of in the future. And so you get this idea of the very personal home screen that, you know, it does move away from that I have to start this application. No, it becomes I do this task and it happens to sit inside this application. But in one sense, you're not using an application. You're just jumping into the task and there you go.
Yeah, that's right. And Joe went on to talk about some other facets. He went on from explaining the origins of Windows Phone to demoing some tips and tricks that weren't done in the main keynote in the morning. For the geeks out there who want some like really in-depth information, for example, HTML5 is hardware accelerated, but in a way that apparently doesn't drain battery power. We're not quite sure how or why that works. Yeah, it's magic. And we have 3D rendering by Microsoft's XNA system. And also, he went on to talk about the Xbox Live Hub. And he was showing how the Xbox Hub could be a remote control to the Xbox system, to your Xbox, to say if you want to play movies or something. And just to speak up for the geeks, I mean, I was watching that and I was thinking, well, I've been doing this for years with XBMC mobile applications. So yeah, Microsoft are catching up with the power users.
Yeah, now, you've always been a bit of a critic on the Metro UI, yes. in terms of things like the fonts and the cutting off especially. Has Joe sort of design principles and actually seeing it in action made any difference to what you're thinking, David?
Well, actually, in all of the... I mean, it wasn't just Joe that I saw, but in all the design conversation that I saw, nothing was really talked about that particular facet, why the headings are so large. They were saying that typography was important and that they wanted to make the text clear so that it was easy for people to find what they were looking for, but there's no mention of a heading, so I still feel the same, that the headings are quite silly.
I think they did mention at one point that typography was very much seen as an art and they wanted to bring it in as an art. And they actually showed some demonstrations and some example slides of famous pieces of art, which basically just involve around words and letters and using the shapes of the letters as artwork. And they wanted to bring just an element of the beauty of typography and the beauty of words and letters into the interface.
It's also noticeable that I think Windows Phone might have more going on, but if you go back to look at sort of the base implementation of Metro, something like the Zune HD, is that when you went into a menu, that menu name would get bigger at the top. So you sort of saw an almost pseudo 3D effect of these big headings, medium headings, little headings, content. So it kind of gives a sort of mental depth into the menu structure as well. And it is a tough one, and I think you're really going to have to sit down and play with it. And it would be very interesting, David, to come back to you after a month or so of Metro UI usage to see where it leads to.
Yeah, well, I haven't used a Zune HD, and I like the sound of what you've just described. It actually makes more sense. The problem I have, I mean, for like the main headings of applications, like the People Hub, I have no problem with that being cut off because it's obvious where you are and what you're doing. It's just like when you're browsing the App Store and you have things like application names that aren't obvious get cut off.
Yeah, I think this particular aspect of Metro is one of the ones that has a great deal of subjectivity attached to it. Mm. I mean, personally, I quite like it. And I find that it's sort of a way of, actually, you don't need to read everything of a word. The human brain works like that. And so I find it a very kind of humanistic approach that's sort of common within Metro. But one of the questions I do want to ask David, because as the kind of the, not the Metro critic, but you know, as someone who's maybe had more skepticism coming into it. Mm. Now that you understand better the story behind Metro, do you actually feel like there's a reason for a lot of it, and there's sort of a more attractiveness to it for you personally? Mm.
Definitely. I mean, the way the live tiles work, I've always liked that. And because I always say that I think a home screen should do two functions. Well, give you two pieces of information that you can look at quickly. What's going on in the device and what's going on in life. And the live tiles can do that. And I think that makes sense. I do want to see more flexibility in the tiles. I think you can overdo the tiles to also make it pointless. I think a lot of the demos we saw today, people were like scrolling through reams and reams of tiles. And I just think that's too much and it's kind of missing the point. You have to choose just a few things that you're going to have.
Yeah, it's very much to taste, and that particularly, I think, applies to third-party developers. But the reason I ask that particular question is a recurring theme today has been the need to, for Nokia and Microsoft to get people to sample Metro or sample Windows Phone to try it, and then they kind of they love it, and they talk about the net promoter scores, meaning that people like it. And that is one of the things that does come across. I think if you try the Windows Phone experience, there are a lot of positives to draw out of it. But it's still, that's the challenge that Microsoft and Nokia have. And we'll talk about this in a future podcast because there's a whole story around the marketing, which is really quite interesting. And obviously in the UK, as one of the launch markets, we're going to see that actively in the next few weeks. But that sample thing, that try it, is, I think, you know, one of the big challenges ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Just to round off this sort of a tease about the Joe Belfiore thing about the design of Windows Phone, which is fascinating. We're going to write this up again for a feature on the site, so do watch out for that. But people may remember me ranting rather positively about the People Hub in Windows Phone. It's one of the things I really liked about it. And it's quite gratifying hearing Joe talking, saying some of the values, the three core values used by the design team right up front with Microsoft and Windows Phone was, one was people first, to everything be person contracts, contact-centric. And the second one was celebrate me. Well, again, contact-centric, but about yourself. The things around you, the things that belong to you, the things that are associated with you. And the third one was right here, right now, the things around you. So everything's very much people-centric. And we'll be returning to this certainly in an article.
And just on a similar note to that, Joe Belfiore also kind of made a little defence of Metro UI in response to something that had been in the press from someone who works for Android, saying how Metro UI was a lot more constraining than Android, because Android, you can customise it to your heart's content. And yes, that's right, you can with Android. However, what Joe's defence was is that Metro UI provides some consistency, yet you are still able to express who you are without having to set everything up again once you've reset your phone, for example.
And did you feel that was a fair comment?
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, during the talk, I mean, Steve and I were saying to each other, for example, on Symbian, you can organise your applications as much as you like with folders. However, if you have to reset your phone, you lose all that structure and you just can't face doing it again. And it's similar with Android, the amount you can customise a home screen and set up all the information that you want to see. At least with Windows Phone, it's not hard to put things back together whenever you've had to wipe your device.
And that personalisation, or me, if you like, that you're talking about, is actually, you know, the other theme that came up here was kind of people, the human touch, if you will. And I think that is one of the strong elements, which is quite hard to describe or get across, but it is there. And that extends into what Nokia were talking about. And it kind of is, in one sense, kind of a quite neat full circle, the connecting people. And there we go.
And there we go again. So thus closes day one at Nokia World. There is still a bucket load to do. So we're going to do another Insight special covering day two. Issues in that are probably going to cover things like the customizations that Nokia have done on the Windows Phone platforms. More hands-on experience from the whole of the team. Now David can tell us where to go and actually find the devices. More from the show floor, more of the developers, more stories, more people, more voices, as well as the voices of the All About team that we have here, from Rafe Manford.
Goodbye.
From Steve Litchfield.
Goodbye for now.
From David Gilson.
Bye for now, everyone.
And from myself. And this is far easier when we're not doing it on Skype.